from WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. With war in Iraq behind him, President Bush is turning his attention to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict with a roadmap and a promise that he will seize the opportunity to work for peace. Jewish Americans are chiming in for and against a hard new push for peace, and their voices count in Washington. But with what effect? Tonight on Point, Jewish Americans on Israel, peace, and American policy in the Middle East. We begin in Jerusalem, where Financial Times Jerusalem Bureau Chief Harvey Morris is following U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell's visit to the region. Powell received a cool reception in Egypt today and held talks in Jordan. Yesterday, he met with Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and the new Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas. The meetings represented initial steps in an effort to restart peace negotiations between Israelis and Palestinians in the context of the U.S.-backed roadmap. I asked Harvey Morris whether Colin Powell was successful in his journeys to Jerusalem and Jericho.
I think, really, you have to work out what he was trying to do when he came here, and I expect that his agenda was fairly limited. One of the problems about the roadmap, of course, which the Palestinians keep highlighting, is that Israel hasn't actually accepted it. And I don't think we're going to get much nearer an Israeli acceptance before Ariel Sharon, the Israeli Prime Minister, goes to Washington next week and talks the whole thing over with President Bush.
Tell us what response there has been there, I guess, first from the Israelis.
Well, I think the Israelis told Colin Powell that they were ready to make concessions. They were ready to make gestures towards the Palestinians without actually accepting the terms of the roadmap. And hopefully maybe Ariel Sharon could get together with Mahmoud Abbas, the new Palestinian Prime Minister, before the end of the week, and that things might be pushed ahead. But it's a very slow process. There's very little actually happening on the ground that gives anyone any great cause for optimism at the moment.
The Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon is due in Washington next week to meet with President Bush. As you say, it's now about that he might meet with the new Palestinian Prime Minister before then. What's the expectation? Is Sharon coming to Washington to sign on to the roadmap or to raise objections to it?
Well, from the start, since the final draft of the roadmap was first going the rounds last December, it wasn't obviously presented until to the two parties until a couple of weeks ago. The Israelis put up a lot of concerns. In fact, 100 points were raised by the Israelis concerning the roadmap. That was whittled down to about 15. And now the absolute deal-breaker, as far as the Israelis are concerned, is that the Palestinians must give up their demand for the right of return of refugees to Israel before the Israelis are prepared to accept the concept of a Palestinian state.
So how about from the Palestinian side? Are they prepared to do that? And what's their general response?
I can honestly say that I don't think they are prepared to do that. And I think that includes the new Prime Minister, Mahmoud Abbas.
Harvey Morris, can you interpret that for us? Why would the Palestinians not be prepared to do that? Do they realistically think that tens of thousands of Palestinians are going to move back into property inside Israel proper, or are they holding on to it as a bargaining chip? What's the dynamic?
Speaking on their behalf without any right, of course, to do so, I suspect that it would become a big bargaining question in the final status negotiations. Mm-hmm. Now, the whole idea of right of return, the status of Jerusalem, what happens to refugees, those are questions which I think most parties to the whole conflict, including those who are trying to solve it, say are things that have to be negotiated between the two sides at the very end of the process. The Israelis, and I can understand their point of view, are saying, no, we have to get this crucial thing out of the way before we can even embark on the roadmap. And the roadmap is, after all, a series of steps to build confidence. So there's a situation we have here now where nobody's prepared to move before very essential points are clarified at the outset.
We also have a report today that Ariel Sharon told Powell that he opposed a complete freeze on settlement construction in the West Bank and Gaza. Have you heard that, Harvey Morris?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I can understand the Israeli point of view there. If you accept the concept that the Jewish settlements will remain in the West Bank, it's very difficult to then insist that there should be a freeze on their natural growth. After all, families expand, people move in. You can't have a community which has no possibility of expansion. The Palestinians would say, well, you shouldn't really have these settlements here in the first place, and you're using this idea of natural expansion to increase your hold in the territories. And it underlines how far apart, in many ways, the two sides are on some of these very basic questions.
And what about the general Palestinian response to Colin Powell's visit? What's been the feedback there?
Well, it's pretty negative. Abu Mazen was putting the new prime minister was putting a brave face on it yesterday, but he has Yasser Arafat still breathing down his neck somewhat, although Arafat's been marginalized by the Israelis and the Americans. He's still a force to be reckoned with, and Abu Mazen really is not in a position to turn against Arafat and say that he has no relevance.
But why are the Palestinians negative at this point?
I think because they feel that the Israelis are stalling on this process. The roadmap is put up. It's a take-it-or-leave-it document put forward by the Americans and their international partners. And the Palestinians have sort of grabbed it. They don't necessarily like it all, but they've said they'll go along with it. The Israelis, playing for time, which suits their strategy, are saying, no, we don't accept the document until we have these necessary revisions. So what the Palestinians were disappointed about after Powell's visit was that he'd failed to elicit a commitment from the Israelis that they did abide by the roadmap.
Harvey Morris, thanks very much for joining us.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
Financial Times, Jerusalem Bureau Chief Harvey Morris, he spoke with me earlier from Jerusalem. It is an old American tradition that Cuban Americans and Irish Americans know well, weighing in hard and focused on U.S. policy on a distant homeland. Now, perhaps no one is watching the first steps of the Bush administration on the roadmap to peace between Israelis and Palestinians more closely than American Jews. And they are making their voices heard. Many American Jewish groups want the president to ensure an end to Palestinian violence before asking Israel for concessions. Others oppose the roadmap outright, and still others are prodding President Bush to move more firmly and swiftly for progress on peace. 88 U.S. senators and 313 congressmen signed a letter to Bush, supported by the leading Jewish American lobbying group, warning him not to push Israel too far, too fast on the roadmap. In an opposing letter, 14 major Jewish philanthropists wrote Congress that they fear implementation of the roadmap will be sidetracked. Tonight, we'll talk to Jewish Americans about how their voices do and do not influence American policy on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. That conflict has never been simply a neighborhood dispute. The road to its solution will involve many outside influences. Tonight, we look at one. Jewish Americans, where do you come down on the roadmap for peace? How influential should the American Jewish voice be in the Israeli-Palestinian conversation? And should Washington be listening more to New York, Akron, and Los Angeles, or Haifa, Jerusalem, and Ramallah? Join the conversation tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We are going to hear tonight from representatives of Jewish American groups for and against a hard push on the roadmap. And at the end of the hour, we're going to get an Israeli perspective on this American conversation from Danny Nishlis, founder and owner of Haifa Radio in Israel. But first, joining me from New York is J.J. Goldberg. He is editor of The Forward, America's biggest weekly Jewish newspaper, and author of Jewish Power Inside the Jewish Establishment. Good evening and welcome, J.J. Goldberg.
Good evening. Good to be here.
It's great to have you. Thanks so much for joining us. J.J. Goldberg, be a guide for us here tonight. We're going to be speaking with representatives of a couple groups in a moment, but can you paint the terrain for us? These are issues that Jews in America care enormously about. Where is the weight of sentiment at this point in your mind on the roadmap and a hard Washington push for peace? And I hope you'll walk us through, as we talk tonight, how Jewish American sentiment is corralled and expressed through different groups in Washington and beyond. But I guess just to start with, if it's possible to do. I don't know if there are polls. I don't know if there's a way to do it. Is there a majority view in the American Jewish community on this next step, this roadmap?
I don't know that anybody's done an accurate survey of current opinion. Finding 2% of the population that's scattered all over the country is an expensive process, and it's only done a handful of times per year. What you do have consistently for the last 20 years on any given issue of Israeli policy, should Israel do this, should Israel do that, you're always going to have a plurality for and against. It's frequently 35% in favor of concessions to the Arabs, 25% against, and 40% it's up to Israel to decide. That's always been the consistent view. A plurality doesn't want to tell Israel what to do, and they're opposed to America telling Israel what to do. So they're in favor of America brokering a peace between Israel and the Palestinians. They would love nothing more than peace, but they don't want America pushing Israel into an accommodation that it's not comfortable with. And that's what you're seeing a lot of now. The major organizations, we're going to be hearing from the Conference of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations,
yes,
which speaks for all of, for most of them, generally takes the position that the administration should give Israel the running room to make its own policies. Now, to the current Israeli government, this roadmap looks something like an imposed peace, telling Israel when and how it will move to which borders. Mm-hmm. Israel doesn't like being told that sort of thing.
How unified or fractured, J.J. Goldberg, is the Jewish-American voice when it comes to speaking to Washington? You're talking there about how it breaks down overall if you go to all the work to pull down to that 2%. But in terms of organized voices, groups, associations, how does that face look if you're sitting in Washington looking out at the country?
You've got, I would say, a pretty unified voice behind the position I just described. We'd like to see the administration do as much as it can to help Israel move toward a compromise, but we don't want the administration pushing Israel toward a compromise. You've got on the right fringe a not insignificant minority that doesn't like this deal at all. Even if the Israeli government endorsed it, they don't want Israel giving up the territories.
Meaning they don't want a two-state solution.
They don't want a two-state solution. They don't want a Palestinian state. They don't want Israel withdrawing from the West Bank. They believe God promised it to the Jews. And they represent a good 15% of the population, maybe 20 of the Jewish population.
Not insignificant.
And they're very, very vocal, very, very committed. At the other end, you've got probably 10 or 15% who are also vocal, who would like the administration to push Israel. If Israel is not willing to give the Palestinians what these people think the Palestinians deserve, then they'd like the administration to move in there with guns blazing and push the Israeli government to help the Palestinians get what they deserve, as it were.
And, J.J., what's your sense in terms of the ebb and flow of influence of these groups in Washington? Is it at a medium point now, a high point, a low point? How strong, how clear, how vibrant is the organizational voice of Jewish Americans in Washington in its influence on American policy right now?
Whenever you're talking about a group that represents 2% of the population, maybe 3%, depending on how you count them, you're talking about influence if you can line people up to agree with you. Right now, you have a broad consensus in the public, in both parties, in the administration, in the Democrats, who agree with Israel, who think Israel's the good guy here, who see Israel as fighting a war against Islamic terror, and therefore are going to sympathize with Israel and are going to listen to Israel's allies here. That means a high point in influence. But, of course, if it reaches the point where the president decides he's going to come down, draw a line in the sand, and Israel won't go along, then a lot of people are going to be very uncomfortable standing up. And this is not just George Bush. It was this way with his father. It was this way with Ronald Reagan and with Jimmy Carter, both parties. When the president decides he's got to have what he needs and the Israelis are standing in the way, then both parties are going to be uncomfortable resisting the president, and the Jews who want Israel left alone are going to be a lot less listened to.
J.J. Goldberg, please stand by. We're going to come back and talk a lot more this evening. We are talking about Jewish Americans and the new Mideast peace push, how they line up on the roadmap, how they're making their voices heard. You can join the conversation tonight. Jewish Americans, where do you come down on the roadmap? How influential should Jewish American voices be in the Israeli-Palestinian conversation? And should Washington be listening more to New York, Akron, L.A., or Haifa, Jerusalem, and Ramallah? You can join us tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'll be right back. This is Tom Ashbrook and On Point.
From Boston University, this is WB.
This is On Point. We're talking tonight about Jewish Americans and the new Mideast peace push, how American Jews line up on the roadmap, how they're making their voices heard. You can join the conversation. How influential should Jewish American voices be in the Israeli-Palestinian conversation? Are hardline Jewish American organizations a roadblock to peace in Israel? Are dovish Jewish American organizations a threat to Israeli security? You can join the conversation tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. My guest tonight is J.J. Goldberg, editor of The Forward, America's biggest weekly Jewish newspaper published in New York, and author of Jewish Power Inside the Jewish Establishment. I'm joined now from Uniondale, New York, by Malcolm Honlein. He is executive vice president of the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations, an umbrella organization representing 52 national Jewish organizations from across the political and religious spectrum. Good evening and welcome, Malcolm Honlein.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us tonight. And from Teaneck, New Jersey, I'm joined by Stephen Cohen, national scholar for the Israel Policy Forum, a nonprofit organization that describes its mission as promoting the Middle East peace process in order to strengthen Israeli security and further U.S. policy interests in the region. Good evening and welcome, Stephen Cohen.
Good evening.
Thanks so much for joining us. Malcolm Honlein, if I can turn to you first, can you give us a sense of where your group stands on the roadmap of how you come to this position and how you express this position out into the, you know, American democratic milieu?
Well, first, I don't think we have a firm position yet on the roadmap per se. We do have a position supporting efforts to achieve peace, I think, as J.J. properly pointed out. We have supported openly and forcefully the president's principles that he enunciated on June 24th, which we do believe are an effective and pragmatic approach to peace. We also feel that there are real reservations about the roadmap, both in the sense that it contradicts the points and the principles enunciated by the president and, again, commits the same mistakes that past efforts did that sabotaged the efforts following the Oslo Accords and would repeat that and lead us not to peace but to further violence, and that we would like to see a road and a map that will lead to a lasting peace between Israel and all its neighbors, one that would bring in all the Arab states, that one that would bring a lasting peace and an end to terror.
I'm trying to interpret exactly what that means in terms of the roadmap, which, of course, calls for kind of simultaneous movements, steps forward by both Israelis and Palestinians. Are you saying something different? That and I think, if I recall correctly, I've seen this. I'm not sure if it was your letter. Maybe it was the letter that AIPAC supported from the congressman. But do you want to see an end to violence, Palestinian violence, before other steps are taken? Or are you open to the roadmap idea of simultaneous push forward?
Well, it is an essential condition that the violence has to end. It doesn't mean that every nut will be controlled by Mr. Abbas or by the Palestinian Authority. What it does mean is that there has to be an effort to dismantle the infrastructure of terror, the words the president used in his June 24th speech. The roadmap calls for a ceasefire. In the past, ceasefires have only allowed a regrouping at a time when Israel and through its anti-terrorism efforts have eliminated a lot of the leaders of Hamas and Islamic Jihad and other groups. This would offer them the opportunity just to regroup for violence in the future. What we want to see, and we hope that the roadmap and the efforts that will be undertaken will lead to what the president called for, and that is going after the infrastructure of terror, not a commitment to collect weapons, but the actual collection of weapons. The president called for a sequential process, one that would advance when the commitments are met by both sides. When the State Department released the roadmap, it called it a performance-based roadmap to a permanent solution. But in the first paragraph says that this is, in fact, a goal-driven roadmap with clear phases, timelines, target dates, benchmarks. Those are the words in the first phase. Well, what we're doing is creating, again, not something that will result in a lasting peace, but repeat the mistakes of Oslo, where you go for deadlines that cannot be reached. The requirements in a lot of these stages are impossible to implement in the time given, and you won't have then the process of verification, which is essential. If you want to build confidence on both sides, we have to see both sides perform.
Malcolm Hanlon, let me ask you, the roadmap has the goal of creating a Palestinian state by the year 2005. That's pretty soon. In your mind, is that achievable?
Well, first, it calls for a provisional state in 2003. Mm-hmm. I mean, how are we going to be at the stage in a few months ready to implement something like that when we haven't even seen the first steps being taken on the ground? And yet Mr. Abbas has said that they've already made substantial progress when in fact, we've seen nothing has been done. It can't be done by negotiation with Hamas. It has to be a willingness to confront Hamas, to disarm them, to end the terror, to make the 100% effort. If that happens, you will see progress along the way, and we can meet, as we go along, deadlines, not imposed deadlines, but one that come out of negotiations between the parties, not outside parties coming and dictating to them.
Stephen Cohen, let me turn to you. You hear Malcolm Hanlon with the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations, and J.J. Goldberg earlier described this as a dominant view among American Jews, or at least organizations that represent them right now. Where does your group, the Israeli Policy Forum, come down, and how do you see Mr. Hanlon's position?
I think it's very sad to hear the way that Malcolm talks about this, because the pretense that they're not against the roadmap is exploded the minute he starts to talk. Because what they're trying to do is to set up an opposition between the president's speech of June 24th and the implementation of that speech that was worked out not by somebody else, but by the president's own men talking to the president, dealing with him correcting drafts, putting things in. It's a false and misleading distinction. And the sad part of it is that what Israel needs most of all is that there is a horizon for peace that gives the chance that this implementation of an end to violence will actually take place. And there's no way that that's going to happen unless there's a clear commitment to the basis on which both the June 24th speech and the roadmap stand, and that is a commitment to a two-state solution, a commitment to a Palestinian state living side by side in peace with Israel.
So Stephen Cohen,
we never get that clearly stated, and that's why I believe that it's simply not the case that most Jews are against this. Most Jews want it to happen, and they're looking to their leadership to try to show them the way it can happen. And instead of showing them the way it can happen, there is this very misguided policy of trying to dispose of whatever the United States government proposes in terms of ways to make peace. And that's a very sad thing to do.
Why dispose of it? When you say, and we'll come back to Mr. Hanlon on this, but when you say that fundamentally you believe this group is against the roadmap, what do you mean? Against what? The roadmap is just a document. Is there some deeper opposition here?
Yeah, well, the basic issue is to understand that in this conflict, which has gone on for almost 100 years, it's become clear that each side has methods of struggle that really create enormous roadblocks in the way of getting beyond the conflict to peace.
And when you say each side, you mean Israelis and Palestinians.
Now, the Palestinians have done it now and for a very long time through violence, through putting their bodies into the struggle. Which is a very tragic choice that they've made. Now, the Israelis have long had a method which threatens the Palestinians, which is the building of settlements. Now, these are not the same thing. These are not parallel activities, but they are methods of struggle that each has evolved over the many years of this conflict. And what the president has been saying, and he's been saying it in no uncertain terms, in his own words, not only in the roadmap, that it's clear that both of these things are going to have to end. Now, it's true that the first thing is going to have to happen. And if you look at the roadmap, it's clear that the first step is going to be the ending of the violence. But at the end of the first phase, there's going to be a settlement freeze. And that settlement freeze is a very important part.
At least on paper in the roadmap. Stephen Cohen, stand by. J.J. Goldberg, I want to bring you back in here. So there we have two kind of large worldviews set out by Malcolm Hanlein and Stephen Cohen. Is this representative of a general debate within the American Jewish community? What are you hearing when you hear this exchange, J.J. Goldberg?
I think you've got it right there. On the one side, you've got people who think we should just move ahead, give the president all the running room he needs to knock the two sides' heads together and get some things moving. And on the other side, you've got people who are very suspicious of the Palestinian side, don't think that they're going to keep up their end, think the violence is going to continue. I would point out one small correction to something that Malcolm said.
Please.
He said the roadmap simply calls for a ceasefire. Actually, the roadmap calls for, I'm going to read it here, the Palestinians must undertake visible efforts on the ground to arrest, disrupt, restrain individuals and groups that are conducting terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the PA, that is the Palestinian Authority, Dahlan and Abbas and this new group that's come in, have pretty well said they're not going to do that. They want to sit down and jawbone Hamas into a ceasefire, which the Israelis, I think justifiably, are afraid Hamas will use to rearm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that the Palestinians say we have unconditionally accepted the roadmap, but they've more or less announced an interpretation that's completely incompatible with the plain language. The Israelis are doing pretty much the same thing. They say we're going to freeze settlements, but only to a limited degree and only after, rather than simultaneous with, when the roadmap says simultaneous. The Israelis say we will accept the roadmap when we're satisfied with the language. The Palestinians say we do accept the roadmap, but then they reject the language.
And J.J. Goldberg, I guess I should ask you, we've got you in the position of something like referee tonight, but since you're editor of the Foreword, I should ask you how the Foreword comes down editorially. Are you in the go slow camp on the roadmap or the push ahead camp?
Our attitude is the president laid out a pretty good vision. He has mapped it out together, it should be pointed out, with the Europeans and the United Nations in consultation with the Egyptians. He's got something that, in fact, I believe the Israelis and the Palestinians can live with. And what they're doing now is they're bargaining. It looks ugly. People get very emotional about it. People get very moralistic about it. But they're bargaining. It's business. I believe that the American Jews, as a group, that is to say our major organizations, are being called in to a degree as part of the bargaining process to put more pressure on the administration so that it'll come down heavier on the Palestinians. I don't think it's a bad move on the Israeli side. It has worked in the past. And ultimately, they're going to reach some sort of an agreement because they have to.
J.J. Goldberg, Malcolm Hanlein, Stephen Cohen, please stand by. A lot of callers want to join this conversation. I want to turn to them.
Can I have an answer at least to
Malcolm?
What was said?
Responding to?
To what Stephen Cohen
by all means.
Comment.
Sure, please.
I think what's sad is not what we said, but rather that rather than presenting a viewpoint, he distorts the position I put forward. Let me start by saying we want to see a peace. We want to see it soon. We want to see it real.
Do you want to see
and
two
we
states?
Believe that the document put forward will not lead to it. That
do
we
you
want
to see
we want to see a culture of compliance put forward.
Do
we
want to
give the
states?
President room. We don't want to see a quartet. We don't want to see the internationalizing of this, all of which were the mistakes that Oslo, which Stephen Cohen and others advocated and were sure was going to lead to peace, but led us to more death, more. And we want to see something that is realistic that would give the president, and that's why we said the principles that the president laid out, which the document does not comport with and which undermines those principles. Most Jews want to see peace.
And we got
and
that
and
point.
I think
and
that
what about
J.J. outlines it properly.
And what about Stephen Cohen's question in the background here? Do you want to see two states?
Pardon me?
Stephen Cohen is asking in the background here, do you want to see two states?
I think that the result of the negotiations is between the parties. I believe that there has to be a solution that meets the needs of both parties, and ultimately the Palestinians should have control of their own lives.
But it's a question you must have thought about.
The borders of that, will all be determined by negotiations, but we'll never reach the point. Look, he makes a moral equivalency between the Israelis and the Palestinians. The fact is, in 1947, the Palestinians could have had a state. They could have had a state many times since then. Each time they rejected in the Israeli Israelis
in
accepted
2003,
it.
Do you
and
want
we could have had
states?
Already a peaceful solution. And the same problem is what we're talking about now.
But Malcolm, I want to that simple question, and I know you want to leave it ultimately in their hands, but you have opinions here. Would you support a two-state solution?
I will support any agreement the two sides can come to that leads to peace between the parties, one that ends the terror and the suffering, that builds a reasonable economic life for both sides. I will accept it.
With that, I'm going to turn to the phones. Jane is calling from Wayland, Massachusetts. Hi, Jane. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure. Good to have you.
I represent a minority of the Jewish population. I think the roadmap is just a ploy by the administration to get the Jewish vote in 2004.
What do you mean, Jane?
Well, I think that, you know, offering this peace plan to Sharon, who doesn't represent many Israelis and who's very hardline.
Well, but he was recently reelected. I mean, he does represent many Israelis, does he not, by definition?
I mean, I go to Brandeis University, and I know a lot of Israelis who don't agree with what he does.
Well, okay, I'm sure
considered
that's...
to be pretty right-wing in Israel.
Nevertheless, he is the elected leader of the country.
Oh, absolutely. But I think that it's impossible to have a peace with him because he's the one who encouraged these settlements, and now he says he's going to stop them. But who knows what he's going to do? Netanyahu said he would stop the settlements, but he didn't either.
So our topic tonight is the Jewish American voice in this great big debate. How do you hear it? What should it be?
Well, I think that the Jewish American voice is very pro-Israel, and the Palestinians aren't given any chance. And the Bush
is that surprising? Is that wrong?
I think that's wrong. I think that Jewish Americans and Israelis should have less say in this process. Because there's two people involved, and the Palestinians are being babysat and told what to do. And whatever Israel wants, Israel gets.
But there's a large Arab community, presumably, that stands behind the Palestinians. Isn't there a kind of symmetry here, Jane?
Well, I think there is a symmetry, but I think what the Bush people are doing is capitalizing on this desire for peace and desire for Israel to get whatever it wants in the region. And making this roadmap and pandering to the Jewish lobby to get the vote.
Jane, we've got it. Thanks for your call, Stephen Cohen. How do you interpret, I guess, the American politics of the moment, as Jane lofts them there?
No, I tell you, my view of the American politics is that the president is right to work with the leader, the prime minister of the Palestinians and the prime minister of Israel, and he's right to put on the table a roadmap and a proposal to get forward. We've had proposals over the years. It's perfectly appropriate for the American president to try to break through this stalemate. And I think that we have to hope that there'll be an open mind to it. I think that if the Palestinians try to evade their responsibility to get rid of the violence, this thing will fail. And if the Israelis evade their responsibility to accept a two-state solution and to move towards settlement freeze, they're also going to be undermining this roadmap. And I believe that Americans, both American Jews and Arab Americans and other Americans, should understand that this kind of attempt is the sort of thing that the United States has to do in order to maintain its credibility in the region and in order to give Israelis and Palestinians a chance to put this violence behind them.
Stephen Cohen, Malcolm Hanline, J.J. Goldberg, please stand by. We are talking tonight about Jewish Americans and the new Mideast peace push. You can join the conversation. How influential should Jewish American voices be in the Israeli-Palestinian conversation? Are hardline Jewish American organizations a roadblock to peace in Israel? Are dovish Jewish American organizations a threat to Israeli security? You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
From Boston, you know.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about Jewish Americans and the new Mideast peace push, how American Jews line up on the roadmap for peace, and how they are making their voices heard. You can make your voice heard tonight. You can join the conversation. Should Washington be listening more to New York, Akron, L.A., or Haifa, Jerusalem, and Ramallah? Is the Jewish American lobby in the great tradition of the Cuban American lobby, the Irish American lobby, or is something different here? Are the stakes higher for Israel, for the world? Do you expect anything less than a vigorous Jewish American voice on the Middle East. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. My guests tonight, Malcolm Honlein, Executive Vice President of the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations, Stephen Cohen, National Scholar for the Israel Policy Forum, and J.J. Goldberg, Editor of The Forward, America's biggest weekly Jewish newspaper. Right now we're joined by Julie from Boston. Hi, Julie. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
I have lived in Israel for 3 years. Okay. And came back a year ago. I work in, actually worked at Haaretz, the English version.
The Israeli newspaper.
Yes. And I work in a newspaper here in Boston. And I've had to do some articles on different points of view about Israel. And what I found in talking to different organizations and officials is a dissatisfaction with the lack of understanding about the complexities of the subject of Israel. In other words, it will be reported about settlements, but people have one idea. What does a settlement mean?
A lack of understanding on whose part, Julie?
I'm sorry, the groups that I've, the Israeli groups that I have interviewed or spoken with feel that in the media things are simplified.
You're saying the American media doesn't get the complexity of the picture?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm
saying. And how does that translate into our topic tonight, which is the Jewish American views of how that process ought to proceed there?
Well, I think that the lack of understanding of the complexities makes it easier. Like I was listening to the previous caller, the student, kind of have a somewhat emotional, reactionary opinion without perhaps reading about the history, learning about what some of how some of these problems have developed. And I believe that by learning more, we can perhaps have a better understanding and way to understand the reasons why.
Julie, we've got it, and I thank you for your call. Stephen Cohen, I guess I'm going to turn that one to you. We hear this come up in the debates over Israel. One line of response is, you don't know enough to have an opinion, so be quiet and let those who know decide. How do you respond?
First of all, I think that it's a very good thing that citizens develop opinions and express their opinions. And, of course, it's going to be the case that the American media are not going to have every detail explained about this conflict. And people are going to have to learn other methods of gaining information than listening only to the local media. But I don't think that our problem is the media. I don't think that I would put the onus on the media, only in the sense that I believe that doing the kind of thing that you're doing today is very important. That is, to give expression to different points of view, to have people understand that there are different points of view. This is, I think, a very useful thing to do.
Malcolm Honlein, if I may turn to you, I want to raise something. I'm all of us look for insight and opinions and authority. One person that a lot of people read in the New York Times on this issue is Tom Friedman. In his column yesterday, he had a couple of tough things to say. One, he said that President Bush will be remembered as the president who got so wrapped around the finger of Ariel Sharon that he indulged Israel into thinking it really could have it all: settlements, prosperity, peace, and democracy, and in doing so helped contribute to the slow erosion of the Jewish state. He went on to say that your Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations is Likud-run. This is Ariel Sharon's group. And ended saying, there has, as I interpreted him anyway, there needs to be a push on Bush to move forward more aggressively. Tom Friedman's a big voice in this whole conversation. How do you respond to these observations, Malcolm Honlein?
Well, I mean, Tom Friedman's record isn't necessarily that outstanding in terms of Middle East. When it came to Oslo, he was also the guy who brought us the Saudi Arabian plan. And frankly, his comment about the conference was silly. So it's disproven both by fact and by history. So it's not important. And the fact that the assertion about President Bush wrapping Sharon is already disproven by the fact that they came out with a roadmap. They did not consult with Israel. And for the earlier caller's question about the Palestinian voice, they had the EU there, the UN there, the Russians, who are certainly, I would say, on the side of the Palestinians and have advocated the Palestinian side against Israel. So I think that to assert that the assertions that Tom Friedman made are really without foundation. All of us want to see something happening. You know, Sharon did accept a two-state solution. He made it a condition for the parties coming into his government, and has said that he wants, that he sees a Palestinian state at the end of this. What we're talking about here is how do you reach the goal that everybody wants to see? There is no difference on the part of the majority, the overwhelming majority of American Jews. I think the overwhelming majority of Americans, and I think Julie's right, most don't understand the intricacies, and there are people who try to play on that lack of knowledge and present things in a very simplistic way.
I want to get a couple more calls, if you'll allow me, Malcolm Hanlein. Yeah. F is calling from Brookline, Massachusetts. Hi, F, you're on the
line. Hi, thank you.
Sure.
I want to speak from the perspective of just an ordinary Jewish American citizen who is very active in Jewish life and has been for all his life.
Give it to us hard and straight and fast.
I'll give it to you very straight. 2 points. Point one, I have seen a sea change in public opinion among Jews in the community here in the Boston area. And
in what direction?
Major change.
Toward?
Towards supporting vigorously the point of view of Mr. Sharon. I never saw that before. I have friends, hundreds of them, who are former Israelis who live in this country, who would have voted for Peace Now and all the left-wing parties when they were citizens and lived in Israel. They would not vote that way today.
And gone the other way. I'm going to cut it right there because our time is so short. And Stephen Cohen, I think I have to put that one to you because it's kind of a challenge to your view. What do you say?
I think that it is true that once the Intifada broke out, the second Intifada broke out, there was a great disillusionment about peace efforts. There was a great disillusionment about what had happened in the negotiations that were led by Clinton and Barack. And I think that that's what is important about President Bush's attempt now with the roadmap, is that he's trying to construct something out of the shards of what was destroyed. And I think that's the critical thing. I think it's a really big mistake to see President Bush as not acknowledging the terrible disaster that these last 2.5 years have been between Israelis and Palestinians. I think he's very aware of it. And I think that, that the roadmap is based on an attempt to take these two broken communities, the Israelis and the Palestinians, and try to find a way in which they can gradually get back to some place of talking to each other, negotiating with each other, and also beginning to take the moves that we know were not taken last time, that have to be taken this time in order to make things change. Mm.
And J.J. Goldberg, I guess I'm going to have to give the last word to you here tonight. How do you see then, overall, when you sit back and look at it, what impact, what influence do you see the organized Jewish American voice having on this next great chapter in efforts toward peace? What upshot?
You asking J.J. Goldberg?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I think that ultimately this is going to depend on one man, and that's George Bush. He was elected with a small percentage of the Jewish vote. Republicans get anywhere from 10 to 40% of the Jewish vote, depending on the issues and the year. And if he can get that 40% next time around, that's a good million votes that he's got in his pocket. On the other hand, he is fundamentally a man who does what he believes in. He's very, very much issue-driven and principle-driven. I don't like a lot of the things he believes in, but on this one, I think he's going to move forward. I don't think he's going to be deterred by the fears or hesitations of the Jewish community if he thinks Sharon is dragging his feet. Now, most Jews, it's true, the fellow from Boston was saying that the opinion has shifted. There's a shift to much greater suspicion of Arab intentions, much greater support of the Israeli right, but there hasn't been a decline either among American Jews or among Israelis in readiness to give up territories, dismantle settlements, and compromise in return for credible peace. You got to remember, Ariel Sharon is the guy who built those settlements. He's also the only Israeli leader who ever went in and dismantled settlements at the time of the Egyptian peace treaty in 81. He's the guy who led the troops in to dismantle settlements.
So maybe at some point it can happen again. And with that, we are out of time for this portion of our show. J.J. Goldberg, I want to thank you very much for joining us tonight.
My pleasure.
And Malcolm Hanlein, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure, too.
And Stephen Cohen, thanks to you.
Thank you very much.
Stephen Cohen is National Scholar for the Israel Policy Forum. Malcolm Hanlein is Executive Vice President of the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations. And J.J. Goldberg, joining us tonight from New York, is editor of The Forward, America's biggest weekly Jewish newspaper. I want to turn now to Danny Nishlis. He's founder and owner of Haifa Radio and himself host of a radio program in Israel. He's been listening in to the program tonight. Welcome, Danny Nisler. Great to have you.
Good evening. Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks so much for joining us. So here you're in the States for a couple of weeks. Here you sit down suddenly in a radio studio on a Monday night in America and listen to American Jews talking about the vista immediately in front of us here. I wonder what your thoughts are. I guess first of all about the views of the roadmap expressed here tonight, and beyond that, on the significance, the sway, the importance of the American Jewish voice in what ultimately happens between the Israelis and Palestinians.
First of all, it was very interesting to listen to all sides here, and what I want to tell you is that in Israel, yes, we do want peace. We think that. Mr. Bush road map should be imposed because otherwise there won't be a solution.
Imposed is a very big word.
Yes.
What do you mean by imposed, Danny?
Because if we will be left fighting like as we did in the last 20, 30, 50 mm-hmm. years, there will be no solution. Someone has to come in to impose it.
So you're saying a strong international, a strong American hand.
Yes.
Okay.
But We need also that our voice will be heard clearly and people should know where we are coming from and why we want, one, terror to be stopped totally.
Terror
totally,
to be stopped, yep.
Totally. And maybe, Tom, you let me tell you a one-minute story so you understand where I'm coming from. I'm coming from the very peaceful city of Haifa.
Mm-hmm.
And in Haifa, Jews and Arabs are living very quietly and peacefully for many years. And this is an example of the way we should live together, Jews and Arabs. But 2 months ago, my son Dolev, 14 years old, went on the bus after school, mm-hmm. bus number 37, mm-hmm. from Merkaz HaKarmel home. And after he went on the bus, he almost paid the ticket. He went down because he remembered he should go to a sick friend.
Yeah.
This bus was exploded after 10 minutes, and his life was saved.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way we lived in Israel. So me as a father, okay?
Yes.
Not only as a journalist and an owner of a radio station, what should I think about this peace treaty and roadmap, et cetera? First of all, the terror must be stopped right away in all means. Then we think that peace is important. We are for two states. We realize that the Palestinians need their own state.
And the Israeli settlements?
Well, someone said here, freeze on settlements. What do you mean freeze? Not to have babies? How can you control freeze? If you mean not to build more settlements, yes, I am for that. Stop building more settlements. If you mean take off some small and unimportant settlements, yes. But what do you mean freeze? How can you freeze it?
And overall, I hear you calling for peace, and in fact, kind of aggressively, you're saying America needs to impose whatever exactly that means. What is your sense from Israel, looking on to the United States, of the role, the impact of the American Jewish voice? Do you see it as supporting the kind of peace you would like to see in Israel or not?
First of all, we welcome the American voice. But everyone has to understand that with all the opinion we hear, we are the one to make the decision. We are the one who lived in Israel. We are the one who suffer. We are the one who being killed and bombed and whatever. So please leave us with the decision.
And the American Jews tonight we hear are saying the same thing. On the other hand, this is a group that is exerting its influence as much as it can, as all groups do in the United States, on the government in Washington. Washington's very powerful here. So the net effect, in your mind, of this community's intense focus and interest on Israel, positive for peace or not?
Very welcome. We welcome it very much.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank them for helping us. But finally, the decision should be ours. I mean, we are the one to decide how to live in Israel. And from this roadmap, what to accept, not to accept, what to bargain, you know, all these things should be left to us.
Danny Nisler, bottom line, we've got 20 seconds. Can you imagine, can you see a Palestinian state in the year 2005?
No, unfortunately not. Unfortunately, not as much as we want it, and we are for it. I cannot see the Palestinians give up terror, and we don't believe them.
Danny Nisler, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much.
Danny Nisler is owner and general director of Haifa Radio, a major regional radio station in Israel. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
This is WBUR. We're funded by you.